Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. How does God direct a man who lived and worked in French-speaking Africa for 13 years, who taught social ethics and personal leadership in Kenya, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Burundi, and other African nations, to lead scholars towards spiritual formation in Boston? This is the story of Father Kelly Madden, and his Boston Fellows Program of the Anglican Diocese of New England. He equips God's people for works of service, according to Ephesians 4:12, that the body of Christ may be built up. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you, dear friend, the reason we have the Good Life radio program, well, it's simple. It's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter how tough things may seem to be in this moment, my friend, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Father Kelly Madden, is reaching out to you. Will you turn to Jesus? Will you turn from your way to God's way? That's called repentance. You know, that's our prayer. And my friend, if you already know the Lord, look, you're going to be built up today. You'll be inspired. The Reverend Dr. Kelly Madden has a Master of Divinity from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary and a PhD in political theory from the University of York, England. He's the husband of Heather, the father of two adult children, Alex and Catherine, and an ordained Anglican clergyman. Father Kelly Madden, welcome to our show.
Thanks. So good to be here.
Where did you grow up?
Well, that's a good question. I was born in South Dakota. I've lived in Iowa, Montana, New Mexico, Arkansas, and then went to Africa for 13 years, as you said. My dad was kind of a restless educator and looking for new adventures.
Let's pause a moment. Who influenced you most in light of what you just said in your growing up years?
Besides my mother and dad, I mean, they were huge influences, partly because we moved so much. My siblings, younger brother and sister, had a huge impact on me. And then the churches that I grew up in, we were involved in a number of different great biblical churches, most of them in the Wesleyan holiness tradition, Wesleyan, Free Methodist, Nazarene. Those had a huge impact on me and the youth leaders that came around me as I was growing up. And then when I went into college, I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU as it's known now, had a huge impact in helping me express my faith and live it out, live the Christian life as Jesus wants us to live it.
You mentioned your father. You said a restless educator. Say more.
Well, he was born in Illinois and yet always considered himself a cowboy. Almost all of his adult life wore cowboy boots, even to the office, or he had lots of hats. We always had horses. And he loved to camp. He loved the outdoors. He loved riding. Even though he had two master's degrees and was an educator all his life, he had that side of his life, appreciating the outdoors and God's creation.
How has that influenced your view of life and yourself, seeing yourself in the world?
Well, I think it's trying to understand in more recent years, looking back, and we interpret our lives backward, seeing the goodness of God's creation and coming to trying to understand how human fallenness, I guess, is the best theological word, how human sin and crime and problems factors into that, how they relate to the goodness of God's creation, and trying to make sense of that through the lens of the Bible.
You mentioned growing up in a Wesleyan holiness background, Nazarene. Mm-hmm. Your personal faith. Now, we know you worked with Crew for many years in Africa, but your personal faith, how did that journey unfold?
My early life was a life of debauchery, hitting the bottle pretty hard, chasing girls. And then when I was about 4 years old, I'm joking, of course. I don't remember a time when I didn't believe what I presently believe about Jesus. It was a very imperfect understanding. Didn't believe that he was what the Bible says he was, God come to earth, that I needed him, that I fell short in many, many ways, and not just but through my actions, but sort of the base of what my heart was. And so I was pointed in the right direction, I think, by emphasizing the Bible and our desperate need for God. It was, however, only in college that I really came to understand that it's not just that God saves us, he brings us to himself, he forgives us, but that every day is a question of God's grace, and that, as somebody said, the Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. The only person who ever lived the Christian life is Jesus Christ, and the only way I was going to live the Christian life is if Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, was living in me, directing me, pushing me, leading me, and so I had intimated some of that, but it was really in coming in contact with Ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, Crew, that I came to a much greater appreciation of that. And so it's been an up and down thing. I sometimes used to envy people who came to Christ with a Pauline experience as an adult, radical transformation. For me, it's been more like moving away from Christ at some times, moving towards Christ at other times, and that determines whether I am growing in Christ, and growing in the light, growing to be more like Jesus, or less.
You're saying something, describing something that I think other people of the Christian faith go through. It's not a straight line. Hmm. It's a zigzag. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they feel close to God. Sometimes they feel very far away from mm-hmm. God. Let's talk a little bit more about how over the years there has been a greater level of, shall I say, tethering to God mm-hmm. in life. And if so, how did that emerge?
Yeah. Jesus is the life. He said that to his disciples. And to draw near to him is to draw near to life. To walk away from him, to be estranged from him, is death. And that sounds very simplistic, but that's been my experience. To walk away from him is to walk toward darkness. To walk toward him is to walk toward the light. And it's helped immeasurably, I think, to have spiritual disciplines in my life. Fairly early on, I learned to read the Bible on a regular, even a daily basis. Prayer, turning to God consistently. And that's one of the things that I try to do in the Boston Fellows Program is to develop disciplines, habits that will train us in godliness. You know, I think sometimes we have this notion that godliness is just supposed to emerge effortlessly from our lives, and that it's just simply a matter of letting God work through us. Well, that's true in one respect. It is a daily, moment-by-moment walk of faith. But in no other area of our lives do we ignore training, as if you didn't have to train yourself to become an excellent radio broadcaster or doctor or basketball player or whatever it is that you do, a chef. And it's that way in our life with Christ, so that the moments that we spend in God's Word, in prayer, as well as fasting, corporate worship, spending time studying God, studying the Bible with other people, there's dozens of spiritual disciplines. Those train us for the moments when we're actually on the front line in day-to-day life and we get surprised with something. You know, like a basketball player, if there's a fast break opportunity and that basketball player stops to think about it, that the chance is done. It's a question of reflexes. You cultivate certain patterns. You literally form certain neurons in your brain. You do something three times, there's a pathway, a chemical path and biological pathway that's built in your brain. And to some extent, that's how it works with us in our spiritual lives as well. We have to train ourselves, not in the moment, although sometimes we get surprised, but for the most part, we know what we should do. It's a question of, have we decided ahead of time what we're going to do? Have we decided that I'm going to follow Jesus' example, what Jesus is leading me to do in this, or not?
You're listening to Dr. Kelly Madden. He is the founder of the Boston Fellows, and he was the executive director of the graduate studies at the International Leadership Foundation. He speaks about a work of spiritual formation. He speaks in a way that requires discipline, that requires dedication, that requires attention. My friend, are you at a place where you feel a bit dislodged in your spiritual journey? Perhaps the Lord is calling you back, is bringing you to a point where you see a heightened awareness through Dr. Kelly Madden about an area in your life that needs some attention, an area of your spiritual life that needs some attention. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from him. I remember years ago, a friend of mine said to me, when he was looking at the way I was dressed in such a sloppy way, he said, "Danny, I'm your friend. I'm going to just tell you this, man. You got to work on your style." Well, Dr. Kelly Madden today, as a friend to us, reminds us from a spiritual perspective to work on our style. Stay with us. BostonFellows.com. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, that's right. Prior to founding the Boston Fellows, Executive Director Dr. Kelly Madden was Director of Graduate Studies at the International Leadership Foundation. He also taught social ethics and personal leadership development and deepened the academic standards of the International Leadership University's 6 graduate schools in Africa. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Dr. Kelly Madden in studio with us today. Find out more about him and his program, Boston Fellows, at bostonfellows.com. Hey, look, you might be tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety. Hey, look, it's a free podcast, drdanny.live. Listen to it, but also share it with a family member or friend. Kelly, describe one of the important lessons you learned in the 13 years working, ministering in Africa.
So many. I was 22 years old when I went to Africa for the first time, and some of the students that I worked with at the university were older than I was as a student chaplain there. I think, spiritually speaking, it gave me a deeper understanding of God's word to be in cultures that were less developed technologically, I think. The Bible is written in a time before so much that we take for granted, like electric lights and microphones and radio and podcasts and so much other technology. And so to be close to people who had till the ground, not just their father's father's father, but they themselves had tilled the ground, raised animals, walked through the forest. These things gave me insight into many of Christ's parables that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't been close to them. I grew up on a farm, so it wasn't totally foreign to be outside, and I'd done a lot of camping, but the pre-modern context that I was working in was a tremendous help to me to understand parts of God's word. Working in a different language, I did all of my work and teaching in French. I was in French-speaking Africa. That was a very humbling experience. It put me back at the level of a baby many times in expressing myself, trying to express thoughts. It also, however, forced me to come to grips with a lot of what God was saying in His Word. We believe that the Bible can be translated. We're not, as Muslims are. We don't believe that these words were dropped from heaven, but we believe that God's Word can accurately be translated into vernacular languages. And so that also was a tremendous insight to have to force myself to express myself in a different language and then sometimes to be interpreted into yet another language, an African language, when I was preaching in a village situation or whatever. Those were some of the things that God used, I think, in my life.
Fast forward a little bit, because you mentioned earlier in our first segment about how we look back, alluding to a degree of reflection as we look back to make sense of life. How did your time in Africa, those years teaching, speaking French, lessons learned there prepare you for the founding and executive directorship of the Boston Fellows Program?
You know, it's a kind of a long story. I'll try to shorten it, but I was a political theory as an undergraduate. My major was political science or political theory, really. And I saw that there were many philosophies that were better than others, many government systems that were better than others, but that no government system was going to change a person's life. You had to bring them to Christ if you wanted to change a person's life. And then I had this notion that, well, if we just bring people to Jesus, that will guarantee the changing of the world, and we'll see political realities, social, cultural realities, ethical realities come to pass. And that was a mistake. At no time in human history have we just brought people to Christ and then everything's worked out impeccably. Sometimes the church has been on the wrong side of social change, has resisted changes that need to happen. But even when we were on the right side, for example, in abolition of the slave trade, that kind of thing, it took years and a great deal of effort and a great deal of study to be able to articulate solid arguments and to work out the ramifications of how you make justice happen in the real world. And so after 13 years, I'd worked myself out of a job. That was my goal, to replace myself with godly, competent African leaders. And yet, as I look back, I was saying, why is the gospel not making the kind of change that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Luke? What's wrong? Africa is one of the great stories of church history. It comes into the 20th century south of 10% Christian, comes out of the 20th century north of 50% Christian. I don't know of another story like that in church history, a continent of a billion people. And yet, like I say, where is the impact? It just doesn't seem more. I came back to the United States actually to answer that question. Why? And the short answer is training, or in our Christian jargon, discipleship. We don't think that somebody's going to know how to pray just because they come to Christ. We don't think that they're going to know how to read their Bible or understand their Bible just because we lead them into the kingdom of God. Why should we think that somebody is going to know how to be a Christian business person, Christian lawyer, Christian politician, educator, teacher, whatever, just because they can a theology of creation that... I talked about this in the first segment about the good. How do we understand the goodness of what God has established, the goodness of this created world, and yet take account of human sin? And so, I came to appreciate that God has made all things good. That society, all dimensions of society, education, the family, arts, all of those things are good, but sin has messed those things up. And so it's a question of redeeming those things, not abolishing those things or trying to create some little part of our lives that we say is holy, belongs to God, rather than making all of our lives His kingdom. And yeah.
So you're doing that in Boston, and you're doing that with scholars.
And why? Business and professional people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why Boston of all places? And why that seemingly narrow niche of people?
Right. Well, to respond to the second part first, I mean, I think I see myself called to working people. The mission of Boston Fellows is to equip emerging leaders to serve God and neighbor in the working world. Usually that's job-related, employment-related, but even a mother is working very hard for very ungrateful clients sometimes. So it's work, your life's work. Why Boston? Well, I that's in God's providence, I think. I came to go to Gordon-Conwell and then realized the geographic and cultural importance of where I happen to be. This is, in many ways, the gateway of so many things, not just the United States, but to the world. You look at the influence of our institutions here, our academic institutions, and it would be hard to find another place in the world that has had as much impact.
You're listening to Dr. Kelly Madden. He is the founder and executive director of the Boston Fellows program. When we come back, we're going to talk about some things that mean a lot to him, but they have great bearing on society. For example, workplace excellence, the well-being of Greater Boston, and Christ-like living. All right, stay with us because Dr. Kelly Madden will explain what that means to him, to the Boston Fellows Program, and what that could mean to us. BostonFellows.com, Dr. Kelly Madden. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
This is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house. And at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
So Dr. Kelly Madden worked faithfully for 13 years under African directors, helped build in political and community leaders the integrity necessary to spearhead continental transformation. The groundwork was laid, and the Lord opened up an opportunity for him to study at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, and a vision grew for the Boston Fellows Program. He is the founder and executive director. Find out more about Boston Fellows at bostonfellows.com. There are certain things that ring true, that resonate deeply in the heart and life of Dr. Kelly Madden. Workplace excellence is one of them. Kelly, talk more. Take us back. What is workplace excellence and why is that so vital to the Boston Fellows Program?
Mm-hmm. God gave us responsibility. God gave us talents. You know, the parable of the talents, originally that word talent was a monetary unit. It was a type of coin that connoted value. And in the parable, God gave the rich owner gave to his servants several talents and expected them to use them to their utmost. And he commended them if they did. And I think that's no different than our present responsibilities. Most of us spend most of our waking hours in some kind of work, whether it's paid work or as I said, sometimes unpaid work. But that work, we are accountable for. It's not just some little narrow corner of invisible of my heart that God is interested in. It's my entire life, my thought life, but also my exterior life, how I work, what I do. And we serve Him ultimately, and so to serve with less than our best is an insult to our Maker. It's also a tremendously bad testimony of who we are and what we're about if we're not giving our best to our earthly employer, who may or may not know Christ, but has only oftentimes us to see for what it means to be a Christian. So those and other reasons are committed to this notion of doing the very best we can, to going beyond. That's what excel literally means, excel, to go beyond, yeah.
Let's go beyond. How does the Boston Fellows Program enlarge the meaning of the well-being of Greater Boston?
We're put on this earth to seek its good, to manage the created order that we have. And in Prophet Jeremiah's book, he tells the people to seek the welfare of the city where they are, which was Babylon. Now, Babylon was a geographic location. It's also a symbol. The Bible is a story of two cities, Babel or Babylon, and Salem or Jerusalem. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of those two cities, and we are, in many respects, in Babylon now. We must seek the welfare of the city. We don't know who God's people are. They're all God's creation. They're all loved by God. The gospel goes out to all, and so it's part of our Christian service to seek the very best for everyone around us. The closer they are to us, the more responsibility we have. As I said, our home, our place of employment, and outward from there. But we have that responsibility to seek the very best for those around us at every level, not just a little portion of their soul that is invisible, but their material well-being, their psychological well-being, their social well-being, that they have good sources of entertainment and recreation and leisure, everything.
How does that relate to Christ-like living?
Well, Christ is the model. He is the new Adam. He has succeeded where Adam and Eve failed, and he is restoring all things. He took on himself all the punishment that we merited in order to bring us, not just to forgive us, but to bring a total transformation. And he rose from the dead to demonstrate the truth of everything he said and who he was, but also to initiate that new creation. That is our ultimate destiny, to be as Christ is. The resurrection of the body actually is our end, not just his body, our bodies, to resurrect it in the image of his body. And so the material well-being of this world is not to be marginalized or belittled. Our will, our heart, and where that's directed is of the utmost importance, but that influences every sphere of our lives. And so Christ is here to redeem all things, to make a new heavens and a new earth.
What happens in view of that? What happens at a weekly roundtable discussion with the Boston Fellows?
Our curriculum follows a pattern of creation, fall, redemption, restoration. That is the story of the Bible. That's the pattern of the Bible. That's the story of the creeds, the pattern of the creeds. And it's hardwired into every one of us as well. So many stories that we hear from the times we're kids. If you think about it, what is the basic plot? Well, there's a harmonious situation. A threat arises that could upset everything, even destroy this world. A hero arises to meet that threat, usually at great cost, and then they live happily ever after. And it's not that our story is like those other stories. The gospel is the basic archetype on which all those other stories are based, whether we know it or not. It's hardwired into us. That's how we're built. And so that's the curriculum that we follow in the course of the year from the beginning to the end. But it's also how I want the Boston Fellows to see every single thing, whether you're talking about sexuality or money or politics or whatever. How did God make this sphere good? How did he make money or what money represents, but trading in value? How did he make that good? How does sin mess that up? My sin, your sin, our sin, society's sin. How is Jesus redeeming that back to the Father by what he did on the cross? And then who's doing good work in that? Who are the examples that we can see in history and around us that we can follow? And then what do we know about this in the world to come? Do we have any intimations when Christ returns about what life will be like in the area of money? Well, it seems that the parable that I was talking about, the parable of talents, is about there's stewardship in the world to come. That's clear as I see it in Scripture. And in every area, we don't have a lot of information, but we have some glimpses of what the world is. So that's what we're studying. Every time we get together, we're at some point in that discussion and trying to tease that out. What does that look like? What does it mean to say that God created education good, the ability of parents to instruct their children and other people in the community to instruct children and raise them up? How does our sin mess it up? How is Jesus redeeming it back? And what do we have about intimations in the world to come?
That's the framework that you're hearing it from Dr. Kelly Madden himself, what comprises the Boston Fellows Program. I mentioned the roundtable discussion, but more broadly, what does a Boston Fellow do?
The commitments are pretty intense. It's in effect a graduate year. It's a 9-month program. The main program, we have spinoff programs that come out of those industry cohorts, but the main 9-month program represents about 5 hours a week in time commitment plus required daily devotions. As I said, that pattern, establishing that daily pattern, is the least visible thing that we do, but probably the most important thing. If we can build that habit into someone's life who didn't have it before they came into the program, 20 years from now, that's going to have a bigger impact than probably anything else that we've done. But with respect to how they spend their time, in addition to their daily devotions, they're reading about 50 pages of material a week or equivalent in media, other kinds of media. They come together for about 2 hours to discuss that material, but also to pray for one another, to catch up on how life's going, talk about their work, and to pray specifically for their workplace challenges. We take into consideration, obviously, personal challenges as well, but the real focus is the workplace, and to constantly be saying, this too counts for Christ, this too, and that's because you're spending so much time there, you better make sure that you're actually representing Christ there as you're doing it. So that's how they spend the time weekly. Then once a month, instead of that weekly meeting, we have we gather all of our cohorts together. There's just two cohorts this year. Sometimes we have three to allow greater discussion among the 17 fellows. So we have two different cohorts. We bring them together and have a public a teaching as well, what we call a teaching Saturday, where we bring in subject matter experts that talk about faith and personal finances, faith and leisure, faith and medicine, faith and whatever in their particular sphere, so that the fellows can dig down in one particular sphere, in one particular industry, to say, this is one way that you can represent Christ in that particular industry.
If someone wants to find out more, mm-hmm. By the way, how many in each cohort? You mentioned you have a couple cohorts.
Right, there's 17 fellows this year, as I said, and then two cohorts, eight and nine, plus the facilitators.
What's the process? If someone wants to be considered for being a Boston Fellow, or they know someone listening knows someone that they might want to recommend or let them know about this program, what's the process?
It's an application online that we do, which includes also an interview process. And discussion about what's involved. So The person can go to our website, bostonfellows.com, and find the application and a lot more information, plus a way to contact us and talk with me personally about what their concerns are, what they want to answer in this whole area, and then how we can help them.
Surely there's a relational component that runs very, very deeply, as you can hear Dr. Kelly Madden sharing from his heart about what God has done in the emergence of this very dynamic and deeply meaningful and formational program called the Boston Fellows. You can find out more at bostonfellows.com. When we come back from our break, in our next and final segment, we'll talk about spiritual formation. They have this part of the program called Spiritual Formation Weekends. Well, we'll hear it from Dr. Madden himself, and maybe even a time of prayer. Are you wrestling with something right now? We'll ask him about how the Lord helped him through difficult times. That and more. Again, bostonfellows.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
The Reverend Dr. Kelly Madden lived and worked in French-speaking Africa for 13 years, first as a chaplain to university students, then overseeing chaplaincy programs in 15 countries. He has worked in 45 countries on 5 continents. It's a privilege for us, an honor for us to have Dr. Kelly Madden in studio with us. You can find out more about him and his program, Boston Fellows, at bostonfellows.com. Spiritual Formation Weekends, Kelly. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens there with the Boston Fellows?
I mentioned that we have a daily devotional requirement, weekly cohorts, monthly teaching Saturdays, and then during the 9-month program, we have 3 spiritual formation weekends, beginning, middle, and end of the 9 months. And that's a time to get away, strip away a lot of the props that we have. During that weekend, Friday night through Sunday afternoon, they don't have phones, they don't have electronics of any kind, no watches, no beds, sleep in sleeping bags, no showers and only porta potties. But by stripping away a lot of the props that we have, and getting back to the most basic things. Not that those things are bad, of course, any of those amenities that we have, but that by stripping them away, you get a certain focus. It's a form of fasting. It's an exercise in simplicity, and it allows them to go deep with each other and deep with God. The first of the spiritual formation weekends is the first time that most of them have met each other also. And what I've noticed in my ministry is that if you get people away from their normal context and they spend even in a 24-hour cycle together, eating together, sleeping, being in each other's presence, there's some form of bonding that happens that you cannot replicate with even months of monthly or of weekly, say, meetings for an hour or two. There's something about how deeply physical we are that a bond that forms. And so we get them together for 48 hours. The first of those weekends is on Sabbath. This is a program based on the workplace, but the first weekend that we have, we're talking about Sabbath. I bring in Dr. Margaret Hotem, emeritus professor from Gordon College, to talk on leisure, give three talks on leisure and Sabbath. Because you cannot understand the 6 days of the week, work week and what they are supposed to be if you don't understand that seventh day, that shalom, that relationship, that rest, that sense of well-being that we are supposed to have, not, of course, just on a Sunday or Sabbath, but all time, but that that understanding of the end of work, the culmination of work, and where we're trying to achieve in relationship and community and shalom, that is where we need to start to understand the workplace. And so they get that time when we're doing this camp out or camp in the winter to think, to listen to excellent teaching. And then they spend a solo time, 3-4 hours alone, where they may see other people off, but we ask them not to talk to one another, just that structured time with God where they can hear. They can spend the time however they want. We give them structure if they want it, but really to listen to God and to connect to God. And many of them have never done anything like this. They've never left their phones off for that period of time. They've never been away from a watch or a clock, and we're just asking them to make a gesture of radical dependence. We won't keep you in the dark, but just trust and let it. We'll take care of getting you fed and telling you where you need to be, and just enjoy. Be here now. Spend time now with God and others.
In the now, the gift of now, today, the being present in the moment. That's a gift from God. You do this multiple times, don't you?
Three times, Kelly. Beginning, middle, and end of the year, right?
Okay, so this is a year program, mm-hmm. Boston Fellows. Again, find out more at bostonfellows.com. You talk about formation and transformation mm-hmm. that takes place mm-hmm. in weekends like these. Mm-hmm. Transformation also takes place during some moments when we feel like there are barriers in life. Mm-hmm. Hiccups, as some would say, or stumbling blocks along the way, maybe even just difficult times. Kelly Madden, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Mm-hmm. Every life has challenges. I've lived a pretty easy life and not suffered nearly as much as many people have, but every life has its challenges, its heartbreaks, its moments of failure, whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, or you don't know why it's happening to you. And it's in those moments that we find out what we're trusting in, who we're trusting in. I find that I don't trust God unless I have to. That's the sad reality, and it's through challenges that God sometimes brings us closer to himself. And the interesting thing about the Psalms, which is our prayer book, not just to be studied or reflected on, but actually to be prayed, to be prayed aloud in Christ. Only he can pray some of those things. But the Psalms have more lamentation than they do praises. They have more challenges. Life is hard. And we need to cry out to God. And the biblical authors don't shy out from screaming sometimes at God, just shouting in anger and frustration and tears at God. But almost inevitably, where they start in the Psalms is not where they end. God brings them around, gives them insight. And so I often tell people, you know, if you're mad at God, yell at him. He can take it. The prophets do. Other people in Scripture do. Yell at him. But also be willing to listen, because he cares, and he will respond to you. And so praying the Psalms is one excellent way to allow God into your heart in that way, not just as a one-time basis, but on a moment-by-moment basis.
Someone listening might say, Dr. Madden, do you mean that? Yell at God? That sounds so sacrilegious to do such a thing. What would you say?
Well, again, Christ himself said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is not an observation. It was a lament. He was crying. He was experiencing. That was, of course, prophetic. He was echoing the psalmist in that. And he was in a different position than we are in our suffering, because he didn't deserve it. And we don't always deserve it, but our lives fall short of his. So, yes, pour your heart out to God. He can take it, but be willing to let him speak to you then.
Prayer. Would you pray for someone who's listening to you and needs prayer? Kelly Madden, please.
Heavenly Father, you alone know the heart and mind of every person listening to this broadcast, this podcast. I ask you to be present to that person. Give them ears to hear what you have to say. Make them open to what your printed word has to say, what the Bible says to them in their need, the hardships that we see from beginning to end of the biblical story, and yet the love that you've demonstrated to them. Not always telling us why, but being there with us and consoling us and demonstrating your love for us. I don't have answers, Heavenly Father, for everything that's wrong in my own life. How could I speak to those listening here? But would you give them ears to hear what you have to say to them at this moment? Thank you for your great love demonstrated in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Formational words from Father Kelly Madden, bostonfellows.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to drdanny.live. We've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom again I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Father Kelly Madden, bostonfellows.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, Creative Director Brian Torres, Web Designer Shayna Kusumoto, and Guest Coordinator Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.